जनानां यथाशयं देहगतो विभाति यथा नीलः पार्थिवमाश्रितो गुणं स ईश्वरो मे कुरुतां मनोरथम्। माताजी या प्राकृतेर ज्ञान यथाशयं देहगतो विभाति तथा नीला पार्थिवं शितो गुणं स ईश्वरो मे कुरुतां मनोरथम्। प्राकृतैर्ज्ञानपथैर्जनानां देहगतो विभाति नीलापार्थिवमाश्रितो गुणं यथाशयं देहगतो विभाति यथा लीला पार्थिवमाश्रितो गुणं ईश्वरो मे
यः हु प्राकृतैः lower grade, Jnana Patheha, by the paths of worship. Jananam, of all living entities. Yatha Shayam, according to the desire. Deha Gataha, situated within the core of the heart. Vibhati manifests. Yatha, just as. Anilaha, the air. Parthivam, earthly. Ashritaha, receiving. Gunam, the quality, like flavor and color. Saha, he, Ishvaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Me, my, Kurutam, may he fulfill. Manoratham, desire for devotional service. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the air carries various characteristics of the physical elements, like the aroma of a flower or colors resulting from a mixture of dust in the air, the Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires. Although He appears as the demigods and not in His original form. What is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. So the purport is about 2.5 page, so I thought maybe I could highlight the relevant portions during the class and read them accordingly. Right? Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 34, entitled the Hamsaguhya Prayers. And here, Daksha is actually praying these Hamsaguhya prayers. And in fact, he was... First, the chapter starts with Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit asking Shukadeva Goswami, how did the creation begin? And Shukadeva Goswami says, tells about the story of Prachini Barishat. And after Prachini Bari, he had his 10 sons, the Prachetas, who went for performing austerities underwater. And they were supposed to be the rulers, but they went for performing austerities. And so the entire kingdom was not being taken care of. And slowly, trees started growing everywhere. And it became a planet of trees, Triloka. And when the Prachetas came back, they were astonished to see there's trees everywhere and what's going on here. And they became very angry. And I thought this was very significant, even in our own spiritual lives. If we don't do certain things, don't do the maintenance regularly, automatically these weeds and trees start growing up. If we don't perform our sadhana regularly, if we don't hear and chant regularly, if we don't associate with devotees regularly, then the same thing happens with our heart. If we go underwater, diving into the waves of Maya for a long time, then again these weeds appear. Sometimes we think, okay, let me chant, you know, some neophytes, in the neophyte stages, we think, let me chant 64 rounds today and my quota for the week is complete. And then I'll worry about it the next week. But then Srila Prabhupada has emphasized that daily hearing and chanting is very important. Otherwise these weeds of material desires will grow. And so this is what happened to the earth. And of course it's a long story. They became angry with Soma and they wanted to destroy these trees, but Soma, the king of the moon, said, no, no, don't destroy them. And he gifted them an Apsara. And Daksha was born of her. And then Daksha Prajapati, he wanted to create the entire human population. But he was not happy with the success that he was having. So he went to perform austerities in the Vindhya mountain. And he is speaking the Hamsa Guhya prayers to satisfy Krishna and Vishnu. So this is where we are, in the middle of the Hamsa Guhya prayers, where he is saying that what is the use of these other forms in which Krishna gives, in which Krishna appears as demigods. May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. And as expected, we see that in every purport, Srila Prabhupada, he takes an opportunity to nirvishesha shunyavadi, to lash out against the mayavadis, the misconceptions that may come as a misinterpretation of this kind of verse. Where it says that the Lord comes according to one's desires, he appears in different forms. And also against materialists. Right from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere you see, he will always be saying something against the Mayavadis, something against the materialistic propensities. And one time a Prabhupada disciple had come to our community and he was sharing when Prabhupada in his classes, initially, when he was establishing the movement, when he would speak on Mayavadis and that Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoy sarvanash, all you will be destroyed. They were saying that we used to wonder in the mid-60s, who has seen a Mayavadi? We've never met a Mayavadi. Why does Prabhupada keep saying about this Mayavadi? Who is this Mayavadi person? And we've never heard people saying these kind of things. And then, after a few months of hearing Srila Prabhupada, this Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, he said, we later realized we are the Mayavadis. It was actually our conceptions. We used to think like that. And maybe not to that extent, but actually, unless we become a pure devotee, there is some propensity of impersonalism within us. And it comes out sometimes. May not be in the form of philosophy, because we've read Prabhupada's purports and we've said, no, Mayavad. This is Mayavad. We know how to identify Mayavad in others. But then within ourselves, when it comes out in our dealings, maybe with other devotees, maybe with our family members, maybe we deal very impersonally with someone else, as if that he's not a person. He's not, he doesn't have any emotions. He's just meant for me. He or she needs to do things according to what I want. Whenever we deal in these ways, these are the impersonalist tendencies which are actually coming out. If you see pure devotees, they are very personal in their dealings with so many devotees. And more, even though we don't see so much of, we don't hear so much of Mayavad philosophy, in the forefront, the whole society is following the Mayavad philosophy. It's very impersonal. We are now, everywhere we are dealing with machines. We have our smartphones, we are dealing with machine, and the message that goes is, I press this button, this will happen. And the same thing we try to do with our relationships with people. I press this button, you're supposed to react this way. I say this way, you're supposed to react this way. Because all throughout my other dealings, I'm dealing with all these machines. I'm in front of the computer, I press this, I go to this, I press this button, it takes me to a page where I get all this information. So I ask you, I press your button, you need to give me what I need. And if you don't, I reject you. Let me go for someone else. And in this way, we are becoming so impersonal. The whole society is geared towards these impersonalistic tendencies. This we bring even in devotional service sometimes, even while chanting our rounds. How many rounds are remaining? How much mala is remaining? I need to just get this done while doing arati. Sometimes I'm guilty of that too. I just say 4, 2, 3, 7, and next 4, 2, 3, 7, next to Prabhupada, and it's there's no emotion, it's just very mechanical. And I'm done with my arati, I need to just get out of the DT room. So many tendencies like these we bring with us in our devotional life, which affect us. So it's very, very important. Prabhupada understands this, and so in every purport he's actually, if there is any possibility for it to be misinterpreted in an impersonal way, according to the Mayavadis, he uses that opportunity. So here, Prabhupada is saying, the impersonalists imagine the various demigods to be forms of the Lord. For example, the Mayavadis worship 5 demigods, Panchopasana. They do not actually believe in the form of the Lord, but for the sake of worship, they imagine some form to be God. Generally, they imagine a form of Vishnu, a form of Shiva, the form of Ganesha, the sun god and Durga. This is called Panchopasana. Daksha, however, wanted to worship not an imaginary form, but the supreme form of Lord Krishna. So here he is mentioning about the process of Panchopasana of these 5 demigods. And their understanding is, you can worship any of the demigods, and they are just different manifestations of the same supreme. And they justify by quoting this same verse where he says that the Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires, although he appears as demigods. Of course, this is something which Prabhupada has written in the translation to explain this further. But Mayavadis have this tendency to always think everything is one. The demigods are just a manifestation of that impersonal Brahman, which is also, Krishna is also the manifestation of that impersonal Brahman, and so are we, and so we are all the same. You might have heard the Mayavadi, he went to a sandwich bar So what did he ask? What did he order for? Make me one with everything. Make me one sandwich with everything. Make me one with everything. So that's what the Mayavadis actually tend to do. But Prabhupada says, Daksha, however, wanted to worship not an imaginary form, but the supreme form of Lord Krishna. The conditioned soul cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by speculative knowledge or by imagination. One must therefore know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He reveals himself, but he cannot be understood by speculation. So this is what Mayavadis do. They try to speculate who is God. And they try to speculate by going into meditation. And when you ask them what is the purpose of that meditation, they say, oh, I want peace. I want to just be in samadhi. One time, I live in Houston, Texas, and very close is a university called Texas A&M University. So we go there sometimes for different presentations. We show some movie clips and explain the importance of Gita based on those movie clips to the students. During one such presentation, they liked it, the students liked it very much. The theme was Free Your Mind, and there was a movie clip in which the protagonist, the hero of the movie, he always keeps saying, Free Your Mind, Free Your Mind. And so at the end we said, do you know what mantra means? And everyone was, yeah, we've heard of mantra. What does it mean? He said, man means mind and tra means to free. So what actually this movie hero is saying, chant mantra. Free your mind, mantra. And then we told about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and things like that. And so at the end of the class, one of the students came. And he said, we had a mantra meditation demonstration, the Hare Krishna mantra, and he said, I've been coming to these programs for a while, and I have been chanting the mantra in the sessions, but I'm not particularly convinced by this chanting. I like just silent meditation, you know, so... is there a difference? Is there something that, can I just do that instead of the mantra meditation? So I said, what is the purpose of your silent meditation? What do you want to get out of this silent meditation? He said, well, just peace. You know, I've heard about just peace. I said, what do you mean by peace? What can you describe? What are you looking for in peace? He said, peace means, you know, I just have no thoughts and then I'm just floating in the air. And he was literally, his facial expressions showed that he has been trying to experience something like that. And he said, so does chanting provide peace? If I chant this Hare Krishna mantra, does it provide peace? I said, well, if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, we are actually looking for something higher than peace. We are looking for service. And in service, you can get something which is much higher than peace. And I explained to him that there is the index of happiness, and there is the lower form of happiness, which is the negative. Then peace is zero, no happiness, no misery, no bliss. But above, peace is bliss, and that's what service provides. He was not very convinced. And so I said, all right, how often do you go to your home? How often do you visit your mother? And so, because in US, you know, after they're 18, they're in college, they're just on their own. So he said, well, I go every Thanksgiving. So I said, when you were small, your mother actually tried to took care of you. You passed on her, but she still served you. She cleaned you up. Your mother, you would cry, you would be cranky, and still she would serve you. She would be happy to serve you. And then when you would make a lot of noise at home, she would be a little angry, but still she would show some love. There was love expressed through that anger. And then now when you go back, when you visit her during Thanksgiving, what does she tell you? Does she say, oh, since you have gone, everything is very peaceful. I'm at peace. What does she say? She said, no, she says, you know, I miss you. What do you want? I know this is, you like this preparation. Take this preparation. And she cooks all sorts of things for me. Said, so, but when you go home, you make a lot of noise, isn't it? You bring your friends and all those things and party at home. He said, yeah, I do like that. He said, does your mother mind that? No, she likes it. She says, yes, yes, as long as you're with me, I'm happy. So I said, this is the difference between peace and service. She doesn't want peace. In service, there's no question of peace. In fact, in service, there is anxiety. But it still, you experience a pleasure which is higher than peace. And so he kind of accepted, he was kind of convinced that service is higher than peace. And then we discussed more about how chanting can actually give a higher level of realization. So this is what Mayavadis want. They want peace. They want samadhi. When I was, my parents-in-law, they live in Mayapur. So that's why I'm visiting them here. And when I was married and I came here, visited Mayapur at that time, I asked my mother-in-law, Ma, where is Baba? And she said, oh, Baba is in Samadhi. I said, he's in Samadhi? Wow, I've heard pure devotees, they have all the 8 mystic siddhis and maybe he's already... Then he came back and came home and I said, where were you? He said, oh, I was in Samadhi. I said, wow, he's like accepting. Then I asked my wife, Baba was in Samadhi? He said, yeah, he takes care of, he's in charge of Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi Mandir. So he's in Samadhi. So devotees are also in Samadhi, but it's a different kind of Samadhi. Prabhupada said, If you're always thinking of Krishna, you're in Samadhi. He said, book distribution is Samadhi. When we are preaching to different devotees, it's Samadhi. Because we are focused on Krishna. So, similarly, all these Mayavadis, Buddhists, Srila Prabhupada is therefore called, glorified as Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarini. That he has destroyed Mayavad, Nirvishesha, and Shunyavad, voidism, Buddhism from Paschatya Deshatarani, from the Western world. But of course, then you say, what about the Eastern world? Has he not done that? He's done that too, but Western world typically means the Western mindset. So even though someone may reside in an Eastern country, but because we are all so much influenced by the Western mindset, Srila Prabhupada destroys the Western mindset of Nirvishesha and Shunyavadi. One time a disciple of a Buddhist monk, he said, because the Buddhists, generally Mayavadis Buddhists, they say, we don't want to touch Maya, because Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya, this is all Mithya, this is all Maya. They don't want to touch. So he asked his master, "My dear master, can I check emails? Because, you know, this is material thing, I'll have to touch the laptop, I'll have to look into all these things. Can I see emails or work with emails?" And so his master said, "Yes, as long as there are no attachments." So that's what the Buddhists say, that but Srila Prabhupada has taught us that we want to engage everything in Krishna's service. This Maya is also actually belongs to Krishna. So we engage everything in Krishna's service, and under proper guidance of the spiritual master. We should not think ourselves qualified and then we get burnt. But while feeling unqualified in humility, we try to engage under proper instructions, try to engage things in Krishna's service. So this is the Srila Prabhupada. One time a devotee showed him a photograph of a guru in India who, his photograph was like this. And it's very famous. You'll see in many hotels. His photograph is like this. It means that he's shunning Maya. He's like, beware of Maya. And so Prabhupada said, "You could actually take my photograph with a pile of money like this and make it famous, because I'll use that in Krishna's service." So Srila Prabhupada was very, very heavy on all the Mayavadis and Shunyavadis, where they're saying that how to disengage, how to not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even in this verse, he says that Krishna appears as the demigods based on their desires. And Krishna does say that in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that I situate the desire of that the faith of that particular living entity onto a particular demigod. And I give the results, mayaiva vihitan hitan, but actually it's coming from me. And that's true, but for devotees, we also worship demigods. But we don't disrespect demigods. We worship demigods, but in the mood of serving, in the mood of getting bhakti from them. Just like the gopis, they also worshipped Katyayini Devi. They worshipped Katyayini Mahamaye Mahayogini Adhishvari Nanda Gopasutam Devam Patim Me Kurute Namaha. Which means, "O Katyayini Devi, O Mahayogini, please give us Nanda Gopasuta, Krishna, as our husband." So we can also worship the demigods, but ask them for spiritual benedictions, for love of God, for love of Krishna. Because if we actually worship demigods with true motives, sometimes some people worship demigods very innocently because that's the tradition in their home and that's how they've been doing. You'll see that those demigods, they will direct the living being to Krishna. There are so many different examples. There was Keshav Kashmiri who came here and he challenged the scholars of Nadia. Nadia was the highest university, like Harvard or MIT. That's how Nadia was. And here in Navadvip, so many scholars were there, and Keshav Kashmiri, he came on a conquest to Navadvip. And all the scholars were bewildered, said, "He's very famous, he's going to defeat us." he has special blessings from Saraswati. And so they came up with a plan. They said, all right, we have Nimai, who is very famous, who's very scholarly. At the same time, he's a child. He's a kid. He's young. So we'll have him debate with Keshav Kashmiri. If he loses, it'll be like, all right, he's just a kid, you know. And if he wins, it'll be, if a child can defeat Keshav Kashmiri, what about us? So this was a nice strategy that they devised. And then, all of you know this pastime, Nimai Pandit, he defeated Keshav Kashmiri. But he defeated, if you see the way he defeated him, he did not hurt him. He did not, he tried to not hurt his ego by harsh words or anything of that sort. He defeated him, but in a very respectful way. He was always respectful to Nimai Pandit. And then in the night, Keshav Kashmiri was completely bewildered. He was like, how can Saraswati, how can you betray me like this? You've always given me this empowerment. And then Saraswati Devi came in the dream and actually directed him to surrender to Lord Chaitanya, to Nimai Pandit, saying that he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is my master. He is the one from whom I derive my powers. So you should actually surrender to him. So the demigods, they actually direct their worshippers to surrender to Krishna. If the demigod worshippers are attached to the demigod and not to the material desire, because generally we go, you know, people go to a demigod because they want a particular material desire fulfilled. And if this demigod cannot fulfill it, I'll go to the next one. If not, then the next one. So if you're attached to material desire, they'll probably just satisfy it. But if you're really attached to the demigod, then they'll say, well, you know, you should go to Krishna. You should better worship Krishna. If you see how I came in Krishna consciousness and you interview certain devotees, you'll see how they were attached to a different demigod earlier and truly attached to serving them, and how they were then directed to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada ends his purport by saying, generally, less intelligent men are under the impression that the Lord has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, to carry out his mission of participating in the battle of Kurukshetra and pastimes to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. This is his mercy. Oh, actually, this is for the previous verse. Okay, he ends by saying, his form is completely spiritual, full of bliss, and completely distinct from that of the conditioned soul or any other living entity. Such philosophers are best because they know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself differently to worshippers in various modes of material nature. They know that there are 33 million demigods. Just to convince the conditioned soul that there is a supreme power and to induce him to agree to worship one of these demigods. And now comes an important point, Prabhupada says, so that by the association of devotees, he may be able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When I read this, this kind of jumped out to me. I'll read it again. They know that there are 33 million demigods just to convince the conditioned soul that there is a supreme power and to induce him to agree to worship one of these demigods, so that by association of devotees, he may be able to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if someone is really worshipping a demigod and getting that association of as an association of devotee, then that demigod will direct them to Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss now. Yes, Prabhu. Is a microphone there?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for explaining it so nicely, sweetly. On the Vaishnav path, there is an opportunity for service and taking pleasure in service. However, the final target has to be the satisfaction of the sevit, for whom the service is rendered. Sometimes in big organizations, departmentalization has to happen purely for the sake of specialization. However, sometimes along with specializations, isolation also comes in, especially in the conditioned state of life.
Isolation.
Yeah. And then it so happens, it is seen, it is found, it is experienced that this is my seva and I am not concerned with the other things. So, and then sometimes also people say that is not my department. I am not accusing people, but this is a general experience which all conditioned entities like myself, they undergo. So, but there is a constant need to see that the service, it is essential for us to get engrossed in the service, but not attached solely to the service, and to take into account the pleasure of the person for whom the service is being rendered. So, how to avoid this isolation that comes along with specialization and keep a focus on enthusiastic service and cooperation and all these things. Hare Krishna.
So your question is, sometimes we just perform a service, become attached to the service. How can we not become attached to the service and be attached to pleasing Krishna?
Yeah, and instead of isolation, cooperation takes place of isolation. Isolation in the sense that, you know, this is my seva, it's not my seva, I'm not.
Okay, isolation means this is my service, I'm performing this service, and whatever is happening around me, I don't need to take care.
Yeah, even if I have time to do that.
Even if you have time to do that. Well, the main principle is that we should not be attached to service, to the service. We should be attached to serving, which means we should be attached to serving Krishna in whichever form. If we become if this service is pleasing Krishna, we become attached to that. As regards isolation, if we see we are performing our service, and then in another department we see which is not within the area of our service, we see that there is a room for improvement. Your question is, do I go and just tell them, well, this is what you need to improve, or this is where I can help you. Let me extend myself and help you in such and such way. In this way, we'll develop a mood of assisting others in service. We should understand that we are not just doing it to please Krishna. When we say please Krishna, means Krishna includes all the devotees, Krishna includes everyone, all the Vaishnavas also. And my eternal position is not just servant of Krishna, it's the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das Das Anudasa. So while I'm performing my service, if I can assist others in their service, Krishna is more pleased by that than trying to serve Krishna directly. We are all trying to assist Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON as a movement is trying to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service to his guru. And within our society, we have our own individual gurus and senior devotees. We are trying to assist them to fulfill the service of their service to their guru. And in this way, if you are saying within a particular temple, these different departments, we should always be in a mood of assisting others. Even though we may, there may be a head of department of book distribution, he or she should think that, okay, I'm doing this to assist in the entire development of the temple, which is assisting in Srila Prabhupada's movement. So if we always remember that we are the servant of the servant of the servant, then Krishna will, and that Krishna will be much more pleased. We may do our service. No one may know that we are doing the service. But Krishna knows what we are doing. And when we perform our service in that attitude, without any amanina manadina, without any desire for respect or without any desire for credit, then Krishna will be very pleased. We have to choose, do I want credit or do I want Krishna? You can choose only one. If you want credit, Krishna will give you all credit. Narottam Das, Loknath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, he was serving Loknath Goswami. He wanted to, he submitted his petition to become his disciple, and Loknath Goswami said, no, I'm not qualified, you know, I don't take any disciples. And Narottam Das Thakur still wanted to serve him in a way that would not disturb Loknath Goswami. And so he would go every day and clean the place where Loknath Goswami would, pass his normal duties. And he would clean that place. Next day Loknath Goswami would come. He said, wow, this is so clean. All right, maybe a coincidence. And then he again goes back. He comes next day. He says it's clean. And he found there is someone who is doing this. So he hid in the bushes to see who is doing it. He saw Narottam Das Thakur coming and cleaning that place for Loknath Goswami. And then Loknath Goswami came and was very pleased. Now Narottam Das Thakur was willing to perform that service. If Loknath Goswami wouldn't have seen him, he would have just continued to do that service without any desire for recognition or credit or anything. That's why Krishna is pleased with him. So if we perform the service in a mood to assist others, it's good. But sometimes we may see some improvement that may be needed in another department which is not in an area of service, and we try to tell them in a mood of, hey, this is how you should do it. Then it's obviously, it's a very impersonal way of dealing. We should say, how I can assist you? Come with a solution and see how I can assist you in your service. It's your service. I'm not trying to take over your service. It's your service. I want to assist you without any desire for credit. And if we do it in this mood, people get the vibrations and they will actually be happy to engage us, and we get spiritual advancement within. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I'm having a question regarding impersonalism in us that you were saying. Actually, it's a kind of a personal question, but I feel like I really need to ask it because it's very challenging for me to find a solution. When we are having a person in our lives who is a devotee, but is kind of disappointed, frustrated with the movement, and it's we probably heard about cases where somebody is just so disappointed with movement and everything, and we are trying to preach to that person because the person is so close to us, but whatever we say about Krishna consciousness is hurting that person. And you said that we should think of the emotions of the person and how to really deal with persons in compassion and love. For me, in these cases, it's so challenging to understand how to properly behave, because I see that every word that I say that is concerning Krishna or serving Krishna at this point in life of that person is just making that person making offenses. And when I want to then pet that person and be emotionally nice to that person, I see that it's not helping, it's only sentiment. So my question is, how to understand when to, what is real love to that person? How can I understand how to really behave with a really unconditional love to the person that struggles so much? Because especially when somebody has served Krishna so long, but has experienced some kind of disappointment, and I'm seeing that Krishna all the time puts me in the position to help that person, but I'm not doing anything. I'm actually doing, inspiring that person to make offenses. And I feel that I just don't know what to do, and I want to do the best I can do for that person. But I just don't know how to, what to do.
Well, this is a, this is something which is very, very intricate, and thank you for asking this question. I don't know if we have enough time to deal in detail with it, but I remember one of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada that I heard was, there was one Mataji, she was coming, she was very old, I mean not very old, but maybe in her mid-40s, and she was, sorry about that, and she was, she used to come very well dressed up in, you know, in her Western clothes, and she would come in her, and especially her hair, she would be very nice. So all the, when she would come to the temple, all the devotees would tell her, oh, you're in Maya, you know, why you are so much, you know, so nice, this kind of hair and get up and all these things. And she would feel hurt, but she would then again come, but you know, she was attached to doing this, and so she would always come like this. And then one time Srila Prabhupada came, so devotees said, you should meet Srila Prabhupada, you'll get purified of your attachments. And so so they took them to Prabhupada, and as soon as she entered, Prabhupada you know, opened his eyes wide, and he said, wow, you have such beautiful hair. And the lady just melted. She's like, wow, I want to surrender to this person. And then she started opening up to Krishna consciousness. She started opening up to Srila Prabhupada, every time she would come, Srila Prabhupada would just talk about, you know, different things about her. And then eventually she came to a point where she was so submissive. I want to know about Krishna. I want to know about what this man is, where does he get his kindness? So, yes, we understand that unconditional love means love for the soul. And in this situation, some devotees, you know, they ultimately, if we tell them about Krishna, they will become purified and their soul. But then, before the soul, there is the layer of mind and the intelligence and so many different things, and they have shut their windows to the soul. And how much ever, like the sun, if the doors and windows are open here, the sunlight is coming in. If the doors and windows are all closed and we make it black, the sun is there shining in all its glory, but it's not able to seep in. And so we have to get their doors and windows to open of the mind so that it can penetrate the soul. And so what has worked in so many places, and what I have heard and I have experienced, is just be friends with them without any motive. Just be friends with them, not to... If such a devotee who is kind of has had bad experience in Krishna consciousness, if they get the vibration that you are being nice to them because it's coming, you're going to now tell me about this devotee and that devotee and Krishna and all of that, they'll automatically shut down. But again and again, you just go and you just be nice to them, just, I just want to be your friend, that's all. I just want to be your friend, for no other reason than because I want to be your friend. Then they may open up. Then they'll open, slowly, slowly open the doors and windows of their mind. And then when we say Krishna Katha, it will actually go deep in. So yes, this is just at the level of mind, this is all just, you know, hunky-dory, sensitive stuff and all of that. But that person needs that kind of medicine. What can be done about it? Does that answer your question? Yes, Madhi. Right, so we have to be careful about that.
Sometimes it's a bit difficult to keep such friendship, especially when we are young.
Right.
I've seen that
also. Right. Well, if that person is really just hurt and they're just there, lying there, nowhere, and we're trying to bring them back, then it's okay. But if they're coming for a different purpose, then we have to be careful. Yes, we cannot be naive to allow them in this way. But ultimately we have to build friendship, and then they can actually experience Krishna's love within the movement. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.